Okay, we are going to look at Likud Temaran, Torah Dalet, lesson number 4 in Likud Temaran. So, Likud Temaran, as well, draw parallel to that yesterday, can also be understood as a complete book in itself. It goes from step to step. And at the beginning, we have the fundamental issues of what you need to know to be a Jew. So what does it mean? So for example, we started off, Torah Aleph. The basis of Torah Aleph is to teach us what it means to be a Jew. What it means to be a Jew is to see Hashem in everything. Right? That's a large part of what Torah Aleph is talking about. Next, Torah Bet comes and teaches about prayer. Prayer is the weapon of every Jew. That's how we live with our prayer. Sorry, that's number 2, that's Bet. Gimel is largely about the Yetzer Tov and the Yetzer Hara. How to serve Hashem. You need to serve Hashem by listening to your Yetzer Tov and don't listen to the Yetzer Hara. Right, that's Torah Gimel, that's right at the beginning. Now on Torah Dalet, so what's Torah Dalet? What's the fundamental issue that Torah Dalet is talking about? It's what we would call Emunah. Pure and simple Emunah. What's pure? What's simple emunah in terms of how we understand it that we learn from Rav Arush? Everything is from Hashem and everything is for the good. That is what Torah Dalet is coming to teach us. Okay, so that's lesson number 4. So let's have a look. So lesson number 4 starts off and says, "Kasha Adam Yodea," when a person knows, "Shekol Ma'oratav Hem L'Tovato," that all of the things that happen to him are for his good. All of the things that happen to him in the world are for his good. Zot bechinat hi me'ein ho'olam haba. This is an aspect of the world to come. What's it mean? It means that when we realize that everything that happens to us is for our good, then it's like living in the world to come. It's like living in the world to come. Well, meaning what? Meaning everything's great, Gan Eden, everything's wonderful. When I know that everything that happens to me is for the good. What's he saying? Why may Ein Olam Haba? Why not like Gan Eden? Or why not, right? Because Olam Haba is exactly this. When Moshiach comes, and we have at least that's Olam Haba, what's the difference? The difference is, it's exactly how it is now, except we know that Hashem is running the show. We know Hashem's in charge. That's the only difference. Hashem is going to be revealed in the world. We're going to see Hashem. What does it mean? It means it's exactly like now, but we see Hashem. And that's exactly what we're talking about. When a person knows that everything is from Hashem, then he's living in Olam Haba. He's there already. He's there today. That's the only difference. If you want to live in Olam Haba, you want to live in Yemot HaMashiach. There's a story in the Gemara where, I can't remember the name of the rabbi, but the wife comes home and says to her husband, "My husband, they're saying that in the marketplace that Mashiach has arrived." And he says, "Really?" And what does the Gemara say? He says, it sticks his head out of the window to see if it's true, sees that it's not true, and comes back in and carries on learning. Why do you need to stick his head out the window? So the commentators explain is because for him, he was already living in Olam Haba, right? He was already living in Yemot HaMashiach. For him, the reality was Mashiach was already there. He already saw Hashem. He had to go and check outside to see whether everybody else was also living in Yemot HaMashiach. For him, he was in time, in his house, in his four walls. He already had Mashiach. He had to go and stick his head out the window to see how it was for everyone else. We can live, says Rabbi Nachman, in Olam Haba. How? By already knowing that right now Hashem, if you see Hashem now in everything, you see that everything is good. That is Olam Haba. That's Olam Haba. And in this lesson, in the story, he's going to teach us a bit of how we get there. Because it's nice in theory, Yofi, I hear what you're saying. If it's true, if I see Hashem in everything, then you're right. I have no problems. I have no worries. I have no fears. I have no questions. I see Hashem everywhere. 100% sounds good. Let's do it. How? How? So first of all, we need to know it exists to make the decision. First of all, it's a free choice. I choose whether or not I see Hashem. That's my choice. I can decide to see Hashem. First and fundamentally, it's my choice. If I decide to see Hashem, then I'm going to see Hashem. If I decide not, then I'm not going to see him. And that's just a choice. Why might I decide not to see Hashem? Surely, now that I know this, and now that I know that seeing Hashem is Olam Haba, it's wonderful, it's Gan Eden, it's fantastic, I'm going to choose now to see Hashem all the time, aren't I? No, still not. Why not? What's going to stop me? Myself, my Yetzirah. Sometimes it's good for me not to see Hashem. Sometimes I like to get angry. If I saw Hashem, I could never get angry anymore. And that's not fun. I like getting angry. I want to bang the table. I want to say this is not right. I want to shout at that guy for doing something. I like doing that. Why? It's my Yetzirah. I have a problem. I'm choosing now not to see Hashem. I understand I could see Hashem. You just cut me up. I could choose to see Hashem now. You know what? I could see Hashem or not. I'll put Hashem over there and decide not to. I'd rather shout at you.
And
I want to shout at you.
The irony of it is, it's a self-fulfilling prophecy. The more you see Hashem, the stronger the Yetzirah is going to get on you to not to see Hashem.
Right. The more I enjoy from my Ta'abot, the more I enjoy the taste. And I enjoy the taste of getting angry. Why do I enjoy getting angry? Yeah, but I get upset and it's not good for me and I feel bad about myself. You're right, that's true. But I also get a lot of pleasure out of being angry. I get to be in control. I get to be right. I get to be the one who's right. You get to be the one who's wrong. That tastes good.
Okay,
I like that.
I look at anger in a different way. Anger is in the sense that I feel like I'm doing a mitzvah, even though I'm probably under an illusion. Where I see somebody doing something wrong.
But why? But I'm right. And I'm righteous. You're wrong. I'm telling you, I get to be the...
Oh, no, I don't feel righteous. I just feel... I just feel like things should always be even. If you're going to park on the sidewalk, you need to get rebuked from a traffic cop. Just like I had to park on the sidewalk to unload some luggage and this cop came by and gave me all kinds of tsuras.
Yeah.
So that was the reason I told this lady she needed an Uber car. She wouldn't Uber car. So I said, I'm calling the police. And I called the police and I felt good.
Yeah, you felt good. Right, but that's not seeing Hashem.
Right.
And I made that choice. So first of all, the reason I'm not seeing Hashem is because I chose not to see Hashem. I chose to go with my Yitzhak. And we do that all the time. Right? Why is this woman walking past me looking like she forgot to get dressed in the morning? Right? It's Hashem's testing me. No, Hashem's not testing me right now. I'm choosing not to see Hashem right now. And I'm going to forget that I'm going to put Hashem on the side and go with my Yetzirah. Why? Because I get something out of that, unfortunately. Right? I choose not to. But it's not, that's Olam Hazeh. It's not Olam Haba because ultimately I'm losing out. Ultimately, it's not the right thing to do. It's not what Hashem wants. And I suffer. I suffer as a result. In Olam Haba, I will, when Hashem is obvious, I'm not going to choose that choice. I won't be able to make that choice. When Hashem is clear in front of me, right, which is why we say, Shiviti Hashem Kenegdi Tamid. A person should put Hashem in front of them always. Why? In order that I make the right choice. I choose to see Hashem. If I see Hashem, I'm not going to make the wrong choice. If that same woman who is sitting in front, let's change it, she's sitting in front of me, on the tram on the way in on the train, and I'm not seeing Hashem. Instead, I'm seeing the woman. So I'm making the wrong choice. But if I saw Hashem, for example, if sitting next to her was Rav Arush or one of my rabbis, or right, some reminder of Hashem in front of me, I actually wouldn't be looking, right? Because Hashem is convenient, right? When I see Hashem, I don't make the wrong choice. I made the right choice, right? Ah, Hashem, you're right. Sorry, you're right. And I, tough. And I choose to see Hashem. Shiviti Hashem connected to me, which is I try and have Hashem with me always, so I don't forget. I don't make the right choice. I don't make the wrong choice. But it's not.
And that's why Yosef was so lucky, because with Potiphar, when he saw Yaakov before he saw Potiphar, and see that's but I guess because he was on such a high level, Hashem rewarded him by showing the face of his father. Whereas obviously I'm not even close to that, but because basically if there's a threat of retribution or a threat. Not a threat, but something to make me feel guilty,
You can take it two ways. Having Hashem in front of us always is either because we are worried about the punishment, Hashem's watching, I better not do it, or it is, how can I do this to Hashem? How could I, it's for a good reason.
On the other hand,
yeah.
I see it as all the same too. Don't come closer to Hashem, we make you like more
happy. Okay.
Sometimes you like a boxer.
Yeah.
You box, you get some knockout, you fall down, they count. Then you again, you wake up. And
you have to go again.
You go again. But sometimes you have no power anymore. You think, maybe I run away, or I don't know.
Okay.
And you see, now I can rest a little bit, you get again. Yeah? Then you get up again. Then you think, now I can rest again, and then again you get something.
Right, but why am I getting knocked down? I'm getting knocked down because I'm not seeing Hashem. If I see Hashem, it doesn't knock me over. If I see Hashem in what's going on, it strengthens me. It gives me chizuk. It's not easy. The test is that I don't see Hashem. In the middle of the test, I don't see Hashem. That's why it's a test. To test, because at this moment Hashem is hidden from me, and I've now got free choice. If Hashem is 100% clear, I don't have free choice anymore. This is why in Yemot HaMashiach, when Hashem is clear, we don't have the test anymore. We don't have the same idea of reward and punishment, right? Because we don't have the test. Hashem is clear. We can't make the wrong choice. We have the ability of free choice, but Chazal say it's like the free choice of putting your hand in a fire. You've got free choice to put your hand in a fire if you want. You can do it. You're allowed to do it. But you're not going to do it. It'll be stupid. So really, you haven't got free choice not to do it. You're not going to do it. The same with Hashem. When Hashem is clear in front of you, you've got the free choice to go against him. But you're not going to, because it's too obvious.
No, I see Hashem. But you need time. Because you're not in a tzaddik, yeah?
Yeah.
So sometimes when you fall, it's painful.
Yeah.
It's like a child, you start to walk. So in the beginning, you fall many times. So
right.
It's painful. Like, what?
Right.
So you need the time to get up. This time, get up and serve Hashem again. This is painful time.
Okay.
And then you know, now it's in Hashem.
Right.
But
why did I fall? But the falling is not seeing Hashem. The falling is when I don't see Hashem, or I choose not to see Hashem, or I deliberately put Hashem to the side and decide to follow my Yitzhara. Either way, it's Hashem's moved out of the picture, and that's why I fell. Because there's no falling. What's the falling? The falling is where's the fall? The fall is if I choose to do either an Aveira, or I start to feel, there's two fallings. Number one, I decide to eat a cheeseburger. Why? Because I want cheeseburgers, and I know Hashem said I shouldn't do it, but I'm going to do it anyway. I moved Hashem out of the way. I convinced myself that actually it's what Hashem wants me to do. It's a mitzvah right now to eat a cheeseburger, because Hashem doesn't want me to feel bad, to feel sad. He doesn't want me to be hungry. Whatever reason I'm going to concoct for myself. That's one falling. Another falling is where I don't see Hashem, and it's a difficult test. For example, it's not to do with an Aveira. So for example, I get ill, or someone I know has difficulties, and I get depressed, or I get sad, or I get upset. Why? Because I'm not seeing Hashem. I think this is not fair, this is not right. I lost my job. Something happens to me. It's no Aveira, I didn't do anything wrong. I didn't commit any sins. But I've fallen. Ultimately, it's the same falling. It's not seeing Hashem. It's not seeing Hashem, so I did an Aveira, I ate the cheeseburger. Or it's not seeing Hashem, and therefore I got really sad that I lost my job.
And then there's all the Aveira too. said, so I shouldn't put 2 cents in the ring.
But Ram Lathan explains that the real falling is actually the second one, not the first one. Everyone's, if you ask people generally, what was it mean to fall in your Judaism? They'll say, well, if you did an Avera. No, but that's not the Avera. According to how we understand Rav Nachman's teaching is, the Avera is not us. The Avera is the result of not seeing Hashem. That's what Hashem did that made me do the Avera. The question is, what do I do about it now? I can fall, meaning I can do an Avera, but it's not a falling. I can do an Avera and know, Hashem, you made me fall to teach me something, and I can get chizuk from it. Naturally, it's you read the Lesorech Aliyah, it's in order to go up and go higher, and actually I can get strengthened from it. So I didn't fall, right? I can be in the boxing match like you say, and I can be hit, and you know what? That hit just makes me stronger, and that's it, I punch him back. How dare you hit me like that? I say to the Yetzer Hara, how dare you make me do a sin like that? I'm going to be strong now. And on the contrary, what happened to me made me much better. So it's not the sin itself, it's how I react to it. Right? Rav Nachman says it's whether or not we get depressed and sad, that's a real falling. So here, what we're learning is that Olam Haba is seeing Hashem. Seeing that everything that happens to me, which includes the fact that I sinned, everything that happens to me was for my good. Then I'm living in Olam Haba. Then everything is good. Right? He then gives an explanation, a proof for that. He brings two pasukim from Tehillim. One says they both mirror each other. They're both the same words with one exception. So the first pasuk says, "Bahashem ahalel devar," in Hashem, which is the name of Hashem, Yud Kei Vav Kei, the mercy of Hashem, the Shem Havaya. In that name of Hashem, I will praise Him. And then it says, "Be'elokim ahalel devar," and in the name of Elokim, I will also praise Him. Rav Nachman says, we can see from here that we're instructed to praise Hashem for the good and for the bad. Whether it's the name of Hashem of mercy or the name of Hashem Elokim of strict judgment. Either way, I'm praising Hashem. What do you learn from this? You learn from this that you praise Hashem for the good and for the bad. Right? It's the law. It's the Shulchan Aruch says you need to praise for the good and for the bad. Right? And so rather than bringing the Shulchan Aruch law, which says you need to praise Hashem on the good and the bad, Rav Nachman goes straight to the source. Right? You can see in Tehillim. Tehillim, David HaMelech is saying, praise Hashem, whether Hashem is acting in His attribute of mercy, or whether Hashem is acting towards you in His attribute of strict justice, you need to praise Him. Why are you praising Him? Because it's for your good. You're thanking Him. Right? The whole book, God of Gratitude, is based on that. That we're thanking Hashem, saying, thanks very much, Hashem, for whatever happened. It's for my good, thank you very much.
Let's say King David. David easily ever not to live.
Have not to?
Not to live.
Yeah.
It was a very difficult life. But he not sinned. So the Yetzer was always attacking him. Okay. Yeah, before I would have to live.
Okay.
A lot of difficulties.
Right.
So, but not of his sins. Because
also from his sin. Even though the Gemara says that anyone who thinks that David sinned with Bathsheba, he's wrong.
No.
Even though David understood he did do something wrong. It wasn't the sin that people think it was. It was a different sin. It's not the place to discuss what the sin was. But there was a sin. So he made teshuva. David had to make teshuva. We know that Shmuel came and told him that he did wrong. Natan came and gave him the mashal of the sheep and the guy with the sheep, etc. And he knew he did wrong, and he did teshuva. And we learn teshuva from David HaMelech on an individual level. We learn teshuva on a national level from Moshe Rabbeinu on an individual level.
I thought we learned teshuva from Cain.
As well. But David HaMelech taught largely what it meant. So, Tov, it was all for the good. But David HaMelech was also all the days of his life. You've seen the Tehillim.
Yeah,
right. Asking, right. But praising Hashem. But praising Hashem.
Yeah, yeah. He's not always staying because you're sin.
Because, sorry.
Staying in your life is not only because of your sin.
Right.
You can serve Hashem. And it will tell you a lot of things.
Uh-huh. That's fun. Right. So, for whatever reason, whether it's an obstacle or a sin, or we see Hashem, and it's Olam Haba. And that's when it comes to teachers, it's Olam Haba. Right? Not only is it, you might have just thought it's a mitzvah. Tov, every Jew knows the Shulchan Aruch by heart. We're meant to be a normal Jew, an average Jew, you have to know Shulchan Aruch. And you know the Shulchan Aruch, it says, praise Hashem for the good and the bad. But actually, it's a fundamental, right? To live, that's where we're getting to. That's what Olam Haba means. Right? Rav Nachman wants to bring us to Olam Haba. He wants to bring us to Gan Eden. And he's telling us how to get there. This is how we get there. Okay, so then we're going to move to paragraph Bet. What does he say in paragraph Bet? So paragraph Bet, he's now going to tell us Eitzah, advice of how we're going to get there. Paragraph Bet, he says, V'zot ha-bechina, this concept, Efsha lahasig, it's impossible to grasp, you're not going to achieve it. Ela, except, Keshema'ale bechina malchut, when you raise up the aspect, the concept of malchut, the Kedusha of Kedusha, mehagalut mibein ha'akum, from the galut, the exile amongst the akum. The akum is the goyim, those who serve at Avodah Zarah. What's he talking about? So, let's just take it bit by bit. Rav Nachman says, you should know, first of all, that you can live in Olam Haba. You just have to see Hashem in everything. It's available, it exists, you can have it. Part two, you should know you're not going to get there unless you do what I'm going to tell you now, which is raising up Malchut. Before we can raise up Malchut from amongst the Goyim, we have to know what Malchut is. We have to know what it is. Go raise up Malchut. Yofi, let's go and do it. What's Malchut? What do you want me to do? What am I meant to be doing? What is Malchut? So, Malchut is not such an easy thing to grasp, but also, in a sense, there is a basic idea of Malchut which we can't grasp quite easily. Let's start with the higher levels, and we'll come down to what's useful for us. So Malchut, we know, if someone looks at Malchut in the Jewish dictionary, so it's going to tell you it's one of the Sfirot. One of the Sfirot that we count, right? Right now we're counting a Sfira, and we know we're right now, today, in the Sfira of Malchut. It's this last one, the seventh one. Today we happen to be in Gevura of Malchut. That's where we are on the 44th day of the Omer, Gevura of Malchut, Yofi. But if we don't know what those Malchut means, really, then it's not going to help us. But we can know a little, we certainly don't know what the Kabbalistic meaning of Malchut is, but if you look in the books which are written on guides to Sfirat HaOmer, and there's several books written now that day by day give you an understanding of what today's meant to mean. What's Gevura of Malchut? What can you work on today to make your Midot better? Yofi. So in those sorts of books, we can get a little understanding of what Malchut means. So what's it talking about Malchut there? So Malchut over there talks about the idea of the fact that Malchut is nothing. Malchut is the last of the Sfirot. Malchut has nothing of its own, and it receives from everyone else. So far, it doesn't really help us. It's the last one of the Sfirot, the lowest. But at the same time, it's the highest. why it's the highest. It's the one that we achieve last, right? You work your way up until you get to the highest level. You work your way up from the ground until you get to the top, until you get to Matan Torah, until you get to receiving the Torah. You clear off the dirt until you get to the highest point. So whilst it's the lowest, it's also the highest. It's a contradiction of two things. Where else can we learn about Malchut? If not from the Sefirot, where can we learn about Malchut? So, we look into the Tanakh. Who is the essence of Malchut? Who teaches us what it means to be a Melech? David HaMelech. If you want to learn about what Malchut is, go look at David HaMelech. That is the essence of what it means to be Malchut. All our forefathers, all our Gedolim, they all come to teach, especially in the Tanakh and the Torah, come to teach us what it means. Abraham comes to teach us what it means to be Chesed, right? Yitzhak comes to teach us what it means to be Gevurah, right? Everyone comes to teach us. And King David, right? Yosef HaTzadik comes to teach us what it means to be a Tzadik and Shemirat HaBrit. Right, we learn from each one. David HaMelech comes to teach us Malchut, what it means to be Melech Israel, what it means to be a king of Israel. Is David HaMelech, that is the king of Israel, the template for what it means. So we learn from David HaMelech what it means to be a king, which is very different than what it means to be a king in the secular world. What it means to be a king in the secular world is not what it means to be David HaMelech. In the secular world, what it means to king is, I'm in charge, I rule, what I say goes, I decide everything, you give me kavod, anybody gets out of order, kill him, no cover, right? And I do what I want. That's Melech means I'm in charge. That's secular world. David HaMelech apparently says the opposite. Who is David HaMelech? He's the essence of humility. David HaMelech says, I am nothing but dust. I am worms. I am worm through Hashem. I am nothing. You're everything. I live to praise you. I'm nothing. It's only you, Hashem. There's only you, not me. Who?
So David is really a vessel that carries out Hashem's will. David is not the ruler, Hashem is the ruler.
Yeah.
Whereas a king has so much gaiva and haughty,
he
may realize that Hashem gave him the right to rule. You know, the God-given right. They talk about this in secular literature.
Once he gave it to me, I do what I like, right? I do. But David HaMelech is an empty vessel. He's an empty vessel that is only acting for Hashem. I'm empty. I am nothing. I am doing your will.
He bundled himself.
Right. And we see the same thing in the other template for what it means to be a ruler of Am Yisrael, to show Malchut. He wasn't called the king, but he was the template ruler of Am Yisrael. Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu is the other figure of what it means to rule Am Yisrael correctly. And who was Moshe Rabbeinu? Again, nothing. I'm nothing. Erase me from the book. Take me out. It's Am Yisrael or not. You know, forget me. I am nothing. It's only for Am Yisrael. What it means to be a king of Am Yisrael is to be nothing and everything for them and nothing for me. I'm only doing it for them. Doing it for you, Hashem, and for the people. I'm nothing. And that's the contradiction of what Malchut means, even in the Sefirot. That Malchut itself is nothing, but it's everything. It's in charge, but by being in charge, by being nothing. Because I'm nothing, now I'm in charge. If you look in the story of the seven beggars, Rav Nachman's story, at the beginning of the story, there's a very nice little piece where there's a king. And the king says he wants to give the kingship to his son in his lifetime. And he makes a big party and he gives over the kingdom to his son in his lifetime. Right? What is that idea there? So one of the ideas is that's Hashem giving us the kingship, the rulership in his lifetime. Hashem is still alive, exists, but he's at the same time giving Am Yisrael the keys to the kingdom and saying you're in charge. We're in charge through prayer, we're in charge because we're told to rule and to be, right? We're in charge. We're given the kingship by Hashem. Why? Only if we act like David HaMelech. When David HaMelech says, I'm nothing, I'm doing everything for you, Hashem, Hashem says, oh, you're nothing and you're doing everything for me. Oh, here's the keys. You're in charge. But if the person says, I'm in charge, I'm doing what I think I should be doing, then we know that the Chazal say, in a place where a person has arrogance, Hashem can't be. Hashem's not with him. He gets nothing. You're like, fine, you're on your own. Enjoy. I'm not with you. I'm not, you know. An arrogant person, Hashem, can't live in the same world. So we have this paradox of, if I'm nothing, I'm now in charge. I'm now everything. And that's what it means to have true malchut. That's what the malchut is that we need in order to be able to achieve what Rabbi Nachman tells us is Gan Eden, to see Hashem in everything. Because ultimately, how do I see Hashem in everything? When I take myself out of the picture. As long as I'm in the picture, Hashem's not in the picture. You can't have both of us in the same world. But if I take myself out of the picture, then Hashem is everything. I see Hashem in everything because I'm not seeing me. When I'm not seeing Hashem, who am I seeing? Me. What does it mean when Hashem says, you should have no other gods before me? Who's he talking about? He's talking about me. I'm the God. When I satisfy my desires, be it food, women, anger, whatever Yetzer Hara I've got, I'm satisfying myself. I'm placing myself as a God above Hashem. Right? I'm in the picture, Hashem's not. If I nullify myself so I am nothing, then everything I see is Hashem. I just see Hashem all around me. Everything is Hashem speaking to me, talking to me. Everything's wonderful. I just see Hashem everywhere. Because I'm not in the picture, I've taken myself out. I'm now showing malchut. That's what it is to be a king. Right? And even we can bring that, this is across the board. Hashem wants us to show malchut. He wants us to be kings. But malchut is when I say I have nothing. It's Hashem everything. Right? And that's what it means when you read the Garden of Gan Shalom, the Garden of Peace, and Shalom by it. And it tells you there that a person should show malchut in his own home. Or you read the Garden of Riches, and in the Garden of Riches it says one of the things that is a prevention of a person receiving his good parnasa is that he's not showing malchut. And it's hard to understand, well, what does it mean? How do I show malchut? This is showing malchut. Malchut in my own home means I'm the king, but I'm nothing. King David, when he danced, we read in the Haftorah, right, in Tanakh, that when King David danced and he was rebuked by his wife Michal, who said, you're embarrassing yourself in public. And King David said, you ain't seen nothing yet. There's a lot more, right? David is saying, this is everything. It's, I'm nothing, right? In my own home, Rav Arash writes in Gan Shalom, a person needs to be humble, right? Rav Nachman, right? Humble, the most humble in his own home. And that's the essence of malchut. We might say, you need to show who's the boss, I need to be in charge. Shtiyot, it's not true. That's not the Jewish way at all. Right? It's not to be walked on. That's not being humble either. Right? Being humble is that everything is Hashem. To see Hashem. Right? What's the difference? The difference is when a person, if you're having a conversation with a person and you're trying to explain this. So you're sitting at your Shabbos table and you've got someone, some outside chutz shel chesed, whether they're from, not from, and you're trying to explain malchut to them. And you say you have to be very humble, and if your wife rebukes you, you have to accept it and not be upset and see Hashem. And the person could turn to you and say, that's not right. You're going to get walked on. You're going to be like a rat. That's not what malchut means either. That's not what malchut means either. What's the difference? The difference is my reaction. Example. If I come home and my wife shouts at me, I can't believe you're late. You're always late. You're never home on time. You said you were going to be back at 5, and now it's 5:30, and I've been with you. Whatever reason. Anyway, and you get rebuked. So what are the two? What are the two options? So.
Walk out of the house.
So
start over again. Maybe she realized that she was a little tough on you.
So let's see the false options are. Firstly, the false option to be malchut according to Goyim. Malchut according to Goyim is no, to take charge. No, you're wrong. Look, I'm going to argue with you. You're wrong. The reason why I was late because the bus is late and it's not my fault and you've got to give me a chance.
No,
and
a
that's
boy,
all right.
A boy would say, don't talk to me this way.
Or even worse.
And if you talk to me this way again, I'm going to slap you down or worse.
Or has special on you, right? Yeah. So for sure, that is the wrong Malchut. Yeah. Okay, that's to the right. That's like to the left extreme. What's also the wrong Malchut is
Honey, please forgive me.
And I go and sulk in the corner. I can't believe she's talking to me like this. Always happens, she doesn't love me anymore. How can it mean? Oh, I messed up again. I can't believe it. Oh, I'm no good. Right? That is being walked all over, and that's the malchut either. So what is the malchut we're looking for? The malchut we're looking for is
This is from Hashem.
What is Hashem telling me now? Wow, Hashem is speaking to me. Wow, I'm not flawed at all.
Yes,
I'm actually happy Hashem's talking to you. Oh,
yes, I started pressing. Oh, thank you, Hashem, for rebuking me.
And I started dancing around it.
I'm calling her Hashem. I said, Hashem loves us because you rebuked me, you know. I mean,
I started.
It's a little bit of sarcasm, you know.
And I start dancing around the kitchen because I'm very happy. And I'm not flawed and I'm not put off.
This is why it's never.
I tell her we're retired. There's no such thing as being late.
Right, and I agree. Like, first of all, I agree with her because whatever she's telling me is right, even if it's not right objectively, even if what she's telling me is completely wrong, in her eyes it's still right. So for a start, I'm going to agree with it. You know what? You're right. You're right. Even if I think she's actually wrong technically, she got the times wrong, right? She's still right. In whatever she understands, she's right. So for a start, you're right. You know what? You're right. I need to think about this. Obviously, tough. And everything is good. And that's showing malchut. Or whether it's if I have kids and the kids are shouting at me, or my boss, or my clients, or whatever. Malchut is accepting. It's purely acceptance. This is Hashem. I'm not in charge. I'm not in control.
I don't think your kids shout.
Baruch Hashem, not often.
They may complain and may shout at the issue that's affecting them. But
I don't think they shout. Right, but it depends. It's still like... My daughter this morning, I went in to wake her up, and what I usually do is I wake her up, as I open the trisim a little bit, let some light in, not like the whole thing, I don't want to give her a, right, but I let in a little bit of light to start with, later a bit of 10 minutes, like 15 minutes later, I go back and open, lad, I went in this morning, do what I always do, open the trisim, I said, morning, good morning, open the trisim a little bit, let a little bit of light in, shouted at me, Abba, stop it, go away, leave it, right? Now, again, same thing. How do I take that? Oh, thanks very much. I'm coming in here to try and wake you up and be kind, and you're shouting at me. Or I can't believe the kids. What, the kids don't like me? The kids don't like me. Or tough. It's how I react. Do I see Hashem, or do I see my kid being grumpy and get upset at myself, get upset at Hashem, blame her, blame me? All of this is what Rav Nachman's talking about. This is the entire concept of Malchut, of seeing Hashem. Who is in charge in the world today? Is it me or is it Hashem? If I see Hashem in charge of the world, I'm showing true Malchut. And you know what? Hashem is going to give me the keys to the kingdom. He wants nothing more to give me the keys to the kingdom. But he can only do that if I'm responsible. Just like I'm not going to give my child the keys to the car unless I know they're actually going to do something useful with it. But if I see they're using it sensibly and wisely, Yofi, enjoy. Go ahead. Hashem will give me the keys. He'll make me in charge. He'll put me in charge of my house if he sees that I'm putting him in charge. Because then we know the correct person's running the shop. if I still think that I'm in charge, that's not healthy. It's not healthy for me apart from anything else. Hashem doesn't mind. It's not going to hurt him. I mess up, I don't mess up. That doesn't affect Hashem. But Hashem is looking out for me. Hashem knows it's not good if I mess up. It's not good for me if I think that I'm in charge. Right? So he's doing it for me. He's not going to give me the keys. Right? I'm not going to give the keys to my kids. Why? Not because I'm worried about the car. I don't care about the car. I care about them. I don't want them to mess up and do something dangerous. So I don't give them the keys. The keys to the kingdom are given to us when we see Hashem. So what does it mean here? So
you have two battles.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Sorry. Fight with yourself.
Right.
So you try to come better, closer to Hashem.
What's the fight? So what's the fight? What's the fight, or what's the argument about the fight? Why am I arguing? What's the Yetzer telling me?
And now the teaching is right.
Yeah.
Sometimes you fight with yourself. You won't compare that person. Then you put your head down.
Right, but if I check out, if I look at what that fight is, it's the same fight. The fight is about who's in charge. I'm only fighting with myself because I'm telling myself I could have done something different. I can be better. I could have done better. I did wrong. And all of that argument is the same argument, which is, it's not Hashem, it's me. I'm just moving the argument internally. I'm taking it from over here and I'm putting it inside and saying, I could have done better. I should do better. I will do better. I could have done better. But actually, it's just a part of the same argument, just on a finer level. By saying it's not Hashem in control, it's me in control. It's me in control, I could have done better. And that's not true. I couldn't have done better. Hashem is the one who's deciding if I fall or not. Hashem is the one who decides when I make teshuva, when I actually fulfill the mitzvah or not. Just like a person can't make teshuva in one day, can't decide when I learn shas. I'd like to learn shas, great. I'd like to be up for chatzot every day. I'd like to keep all the mitzvahs perfectly. But you know what? Even though I've been trying now for quite a few years, I'm still not managing. Why? Because Hashem's not letting me. The truth is Hashem's not letting me. Because if he let me be the Gadol Ador after making teshuva, oh, you know what? I think I should make teshuva. And tomorrow I've got everything perfect. For a start, there's nothing left to do here. I did 20 years of doing what? Just practicing. And also, I didn't actually achieve it myself. I need to grow, I need to fall, I need to get up, I need to earn it. And that only comes because he makes me wait. And waiting means that I don't yet achieve it. So he's making me not wait. So when I fall, the argument is, inside with myself is, do I say it's Hashem and it's okay, and it's what he wants, it's his plan, and I'm not going to get upset about it? Or do I say, no, I'm going to get upset about it. It's not right. It's not fair. I need to do harder. I need to try more. And that's the mistake. That's the Yetzer. That's not correct.
So it means you fell. You think I have to do it more correct or it's wrong.
Yes, that's a sheker. Yeah. It's a sheker.
I was talking today with Abram.
Yeah.
We have the same. I'm very strict. Square.
Yeah.
So
Hashem wants to take you out of that.
Yeah, no. But it's
a huge freedom to know that we can breathe. And I take all this weight that's on me. I did wrong, I'm doing wrong, I'm still doing wrong, I'm doing right. Right? Rabbi Nachman calls it Lahatzchil Bahatzchala, to start again. Fresh, clean slate, nothing.
For me?
Starting again.
I have a picture for me.
Yeah.
For all the people I see, Hashem is merciful. If I have my picture, he's only strict. Right. My wife said too, you strict to all that, Hashem.
Right. So why do we do that? Because our Yetzer Hara is very clever. Now Yetzer Hara knows that the only reason he can get us to do it, he knows your Yetzer Hara knows that you just want to serve Hashem. Rabbi Reuven, I know, I'm going to sign up for you that you want to do Avodat Hashem. Your Yetzirah lies to you and says, Reuven, this is how you serve Hashem. You serve Hashem by being tough on yourself. By Hashem wants you to be hard on yourself because that's how you're going to grow. You're going to grow and be better by being really tough. That's the Yetzirah. He pretends he's doing a mitzvah. And until I can undo that lie, it's a sheker, it's not true. But until I can believe that that's not true, because I still believe it's a little bit true. And while I believe it's a little bit true, I'm going to carry on doing it.
I understand. So, in Hashem is here the same with you then. When you act so, yeah, act so, the same.
Yeah.
So why are you not doing more of that?
He is going to, so...
Why
we suffer? Rav Nachman says the worst thing in the world is to be down and depressed and whatever, it brings dinim and it's not good, it's not healthy, which is exactly what I do. Why? Because mina can I get neither, right? Hashem says, oh, you think you're bad? Tough. I have to go along with that. Hashem, I'm telling myself I deserve dinim. I deserve bad things to happen to me because I did wrong. Hashem says, yes, go for it. The way, mina can I get neither. You think you deserve it. What can I do? He thinks he deserves it, here you go. It's what I'm asking for. I'm asking for that. I'm saying, hit me again. Yeah, hit me. I deserve it. Hit me. Oh, you know what? Hit me. Hit me. I am. I'm bad. Hit me. I'm bad. But if I say, actually, Hashem, I'm good. I'm great. Everything's good. I didn't mess up. You messed up. Why? You chose to mess up. You chose me to be. Hashem says, oh, there's no dinim on me. Strangely, it's like, hafuch. Why? Hafuch. A paradox. But it's true. I'm not asking for it. I'm saying everything is good. I should say, fine, everything's good. No need to. Don't give him any trouble. Why am I giving him trouble? I didn't ask for that. If I think about it, I did ask for it. The only reason I'm having all this stuff is, it's magiali, yeah, it's right, yeah, I'm bad. You see people, it's easier to see in other people. They bring it on themselves. A person who's having a bad day goes around in a grumpy mood, he has a crash, he walks into a wall, he falls over, he loses the climb. Yeah, you have it right, because he was having a bad day. But spiritually, Rabbi Nachman explains it all. He says, you felt that was, yeah, and a person says, I knew it, that was going to happen, I knew that was going to be, yeah, he knew it, and it came.
It's very difficult.
What?
Because the Yetzirah say you're right, you have to be strict,
and the Hashem is strict with you. So how do I get out of it? How do I get out of it? One of the easiest, most simplest, and clearest way, Emunat Chachamim. Emunat Chachamim. I believe my rabbis. Rabbi Nachman says, forget it, put it aside, do this. Yeah, but it doesn't seem right. I don't care. Rabbi Nachman said it. Rav Arush, my rabbi, told me to do this. I don't understand it. It doesn't make sense to me. You're right, it doesn't. Where I'm holding now, I'm this big. My brain, my moach, my neshama, is not ready to understand it. I'm still too small. However, I trust my Rebbe. My Rebbe said, this is right. Don't beat yourself up. It's a lie. It's a sheker. Instead, everything's good. Start on you. Forget it. It's all from Hashem. I believe my rabbi and I go with him 100%. Why? Because I understand what he's talking about? No. I have no clue. And the opposite, it doesn't seem right to me. Rashi says, on the Torah, Rashi says, if your Rebbe says left is right and right is left, you believe him. Rashi HaKadosh says, to Bria Breslava, Rashi HaKadosh says, even if you think your Rebbe's wrong, and you think left, why did he choose right is left and left is right? Because it's not complicated, it's obvious to you. It's not saying, Rashi didn't choose, if your Rebbe tells you a halacha that you think is wrong, and you think the halacha is the other way, go with what your Rebbe said. No, because then maybe he's right, maybe he's wrong. Rashi says, if you think your right is right and your left is left, if you think it's obvious to yourself, still don't believe yourself. Rashi HaGadosh, the great right, says it. He says, go with what your Rebbe says. And we should take that. My Rebbe that I believe in, that he knows more than me, and he's taking me to the place where Hashem wants to go. And he says to me, beating myself up is not a good idea. Blaming myself and doing what my Yetzirah or what I think I should be doing. No, forget it. Even if I think it's right, it seems good to me, I believe it. No, I have to emunah hachamim, right? Ba'aminu b'moshe, ba'Hashem b'moshe avdor, to believe in both Hashem and the hachamim. Hachamim tell me how to live. Rabbi Nachman tells me what to do. Right, you've got the Torah, the Shulchan Aruch, and tells you how to do the rule. And Rabbi Nachman tells you how to live day to day. How do I put it into practice? I need to believe him, not believe myself. I'm wrong, I'm this big. How big am I? I'm nothing. If I believe on myself, look where it got me so far. Right? Tov, we'll stop there.